Yeah, probably, yeah.
I remember because we had to clear the snow to do the robbery.
We had the ghost train sitting on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew when we heard that train move, things were getting better.
Yeah,
here we go.
All right. I'd like to call this meeting to order at, let's say 7:30, but it's 6:30. Roll call, please.
Chairman Rosenblum?
Here.
Director Duquette?
Here.
Director Woods?
Here.
Secretary Seifel's, Senator Hertum?
Absent.
No.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
She's unable to attend tonight's meeting, she told me. I want to thank the previous meeting folks for these nice cookies and things that they got. Public input. Next is the minutes, the approval of the public minutes for October 18th, 2017. I'll entertain a motion to accept those minutes.
Move to accept.
You're a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Treasurer's report. Approval of the October financial statements. That is on page 21. It shows the actual versus budget. For the month of October, we are running, each month we're running ahead on the land lease income. We had not budgeted for a collection of one lease, and we are collecting on that lease, so we're ahead for that. The fuel flowage fees are ahead. You'll see in your other reports that traffic counts is up, and that's part of the reason that the fees are up there. On expenses, they're all under budget for the month. On the personnel side, the benefits side, and maintenance, we didn't really do much maintenance this past month. We did have an increase over budget on the equipment rental, and can you enlighten us on that?
Yeah, when we had to transport those pieces of machinery that we picked up from the GSA, we put that under that category, so we had to rent those trucks to bring the equipment.
Okay. Thank you. Otherwise, everything is under budget. So for year to date, so this is 4 months into the year, we have a surplus of $18,036. We have projected a loss of $17,000, so we're $35,000 ahead of budget. Any questions? I'd like to make a motion to accept the October 31st, 2017 financial reports pending audit.
Make the motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll hear from our auditor, Matthew. And Rashad. We have our draft audits that was included in the package.
The part of the audit will require us to communicate certain things to the board, and you'll find that in our governance communication. And what I'll do is I'll kind of highlight the more important part of it. And so as part of the audit process, we examine the authority's internal controls over both financial reporting and complying with federal awards that the authority is required to have an audit conducted in accordance with uniform guidance, which is more commonly known as a single audit, because the authority expended in excess of $750,000 of federal funds. So during the year ended June 30th, 2017, the authority expended roughly $1,547,000 in federal awards across three different FAA projects. And we're happy to report that there were no deficiencies or weaknesses in the authority's records were in great condition. Another item that we highlight on those the communication of those tribal governments are significant audit adjustments that were made during the year. And the significant adjustments that were made during the year were to increase the year-end payables of the authority related to the federal projects, to increase the related receivables of those federal projects where the authority gets 90% from the FAA and 5% from the state of New Hampshire. And then the only other significant adjustment that we had was to reclassify where the authority considers all amounts expended for the grant as part of the project expenses. We go through, examine everything that was paid out during the year, plus the year-end payables, and then with management determine whether or not this is something that should be capitalized or if it's something that doesn't need to be capitalized. So what we did was determine that the pavement improvement project, that was something that should be capitalized. So it was taking the expenses and then putting them into construction in progress because the project had yet to be fully completed as of the end of the year. So those are the only audit adjustments that we had. They were material, yes.
Was there any adjustment to at year end for cash basis versus accrual basis?
The only ones that we have, they're strictly the project related. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I gave Susan the Excel spreadsheets that we typically use on an annual basis to summarize, here's what was expended out during the year, here are the year-end payables. And she went through and identified everything paid out during the year, gave it back to me, and determined what the year-end payables were. It was just a matter of recording those year-end payables and the related receivables to them. Mm-hmm. So those were really, and you know, I can't speak to whether or not it was kind of coming in towards the end of, not really end of the year, but not as familiar with it because she'd been, you know, out of that position for what, 2 years or so. And it's just being comfortable with that and, you know, presenting the information to me and then, you know, me going through and saying, yes, those are the adjustments that need to be made in the future. You know, she's quite capable of doing it the last year that she was here, that we conducted the audit with. She had done all of those adjustments for us. So it's more of a matter of everything that was going from kind of cash basis to accrual basis was identified by Susan, just, you know, not recorded. And like I said, the fact that she could identify all the information and present it to us that way, you know, I have no doubt in the future that there won't be those kind of, you know, those adjustments. The only thing that I could maybe see is, you know, if everything is just flowing through the expenses, it'll be a matter of what's capitalized versus what gets left in as expenses.
Thank you.
Annually, too, we review certain processes, procedures, and determine if there's not an internal control deficiency, something that we may make as a management's recommendation. I know in the past, you know, prior to me taking over, I believe that Jared, one of the recommendations that he had was that the airport manager at the time sign off on all the journal entries that were made. Looking through it this year, there's, you know, no journal entries that were really made other than the reporting of interest income, which you don't need to have an approval on that. So we had no management recommendations during the current year. The most important thing for you guys is the opinion on the financial statements, and you guys received an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, and like I said earlier, there were no findings or deficiencies that we identified. So you guys are required to have an audit in accordance with uniform guidance. And if you look through the financial statements at pages 16 through 23, those are the applicable pages for federal compliance reporting. So you'd be able to see your schedule of expenditures of federal awards, what was spent on each grant. Our opinion on compliance for the major programs, our opinion on internal controls for the authorities. Yes. Through that?
I'm all set.
Okay.
So if we're looking at page 2, which is the income expenses, statement of revenues and expenses.
Yes.
Can we determine what in operations the either operating loss or surplus was?
The operating loss, which it takes into account depreciation expense, things like that. You'll see the actual operating loss underneath the total operating expenses, but then you have your non-operating revenues, which is your interest income that you earn, and the capital contributions. So during the year, the 90% that gets recognized from the FAA, the 5% that gets recognized from the state of New Hampshire, the $47,000 that the city of Nashua contributed towards the, you know, your share of the project cost, plus during the year, I believe there was about $32,700 or so of equipment that was acquired through the, is it the government surplus program? So
that's capital you're talking about. I'm asking for the operating, the non-capital, the operations of the authority, the salaries, the overhead.
So if you're looking strictly at that, if you were to take your operating revenues, the operating expenses, and back up the depreciation expense, mm-hmm. that would give you more or less the figure that you're looking for.
So is that figure close to like $8,000 surplus for the year?
Well,
let's see, total operating, I think it's operating revenue is $599,945, right? Plus operating expense.
Yeah, the total operating expense is
$1,913,000.
And then if you back up the depreciation expense. The portion of it
minus.
The portions that you're not seeing are because these include all those, the changes in the deferred inflows, outflows of resources, as well as the change in the net pension liability. That's all flowing through the information here because this is presented in accordance with GAAP.
Right.
So it has the changes in all the pension-related activity included within this. So to get down to the number that, you know, maybe you're looking at without looking at the theoretical GASI figures, I could get that number to Susan.
But even taking into account the pension changes, the in and out.
Yep.
If we just back out the depreciation of $1,321,000 against the $1,313,000.
You're
$7,000.
It's seven grand.
I just
want to
confirm that.
Okay. Then, yes. It's difficult because some of the way that you guys are looking at the information internally, and then the way that we're seeing it with the audited figures, again, the pension changes, all that, you know, they're close this year, but any changes in the New Hampshire retirement system assumptions for the net pension, you know, the actuarial assumptions to drive the net pension liability, those could have a significant increase or decrease.
The other thing is, can you address the net position, a discussion that you and I had about on page 1?
That is actually a
net investment unrestricted.
Yep, that's actually a topic that I have in my review of the statement of deposition. So I'll go through the statement of deposition, my summary real quick. Your cash will be relatively similar as the prior year. However, the investments increased by roughly $8,600. And this was the result of the authority utilizing the additional revenue from aircraft registrations for FY16, as well as some of the additional from 17, along with during the year, a lot of work was done to recuperate the medical subsidy that the authority was entitled to for health insurance that it had been paying, you know, for substantial, I'm sure you're well aware of it, and the board is well aware of it. So that additional money coming in enabled the authority to be able to open up a CD and bring down your exposure to custodial credit risk. So the balance is in excess of the FDIC insurance limit. Other significant changes year over year are you're increasing your amounts due from other governments, which again is mainly related to the timing of when the project expenditures were incurred. So at the end of FY16, the authority was wrapping up a lot of the open projects and did not have significant grants awarded to it. It was in the very beginning process of the pavement project versus in the current, in FY17, there were a lot of expenditures occurred during the month of May, June, and again, a lot of it had to do with the pavement projects, which your largest year-end receivable is roughly $585,100, and that's applicable to the pavement project for expenses that were paid shortly after year-end and the money was received, plus there's the retainage from the contractor that's included within that amount that it's in the liabilities as well, but until the authority has to release that retainage, you're not going to receive the funds from the FAA. So, you know, everything passes through the state of New Hampshire, the FAA portion, and the state of New Hampshire's portion. And
excuse me, I was referring to the net position.
That's where I'm going to go after. So, tied directly to your change in your amounts due from other government is the year-end liabilities, so the payables to the contractors as well as retainage. So the components of net position at the end of the year, you have the unrestricted net position, which is the balance available to finance the continuing operations of the Airport Authority, and it increased by $116,800 from the prior year. Last year, you guys had a deficit and related to the Indian retirement system liability. If you were to take out the components related to the New Hampshire retirement system, so the deferred outflows of resources, the deferred inflows of resources, and the net pension liability, the number that I believe you're looking for your unrestricted net position would be roughly $446,300.
So that would be the amount that the authority has accumulated over the years as surpluses in non-projects items to be used for future use.
Yes. So that's the numbers in the financial statements, because they're presented in accordance with GAAP and you have the pension liability, they're bringing down the unrestricted net position. And that's why last year you guys had a deficit unrestricted net position. Capital assets of the authority increased by roughly $282,600 during the year. And this is attributable to $1,571,800 in equipment and construction in progress during the year, and the majority of that was the pavement maintenance project, And then during the year, to offset that, you had roughly $1.32 million in depreciation expense. What led to the overall increase of the authority's net investment in capital assets.
Are there any questions from the board?
Am I going into too much?
I think Chris might have a few questions.
Do you have any questions?
He gave me some pretty sharp ones.
Yes.
Are public authorities like the National Airport Authority required to keep certain amount of cash reserve?
My knowledge, no.
Okay. So that's the surplus dollars to the authority to spend them on matching funds for projects or whatever you like.
That's typically what happens is, you know, you use the funds that you have from your operational that you've generated plus any contributions that you get from, say, City of Nashua for doing projects. Those money go to fund your share of the actual projects that are awarded to the authority through the State of New Hampshire and the FAA.
All in short of it.
Thanks. And a question about that statement in that position. A number of years ago, before I really got involved, I heard there was a balance of around 900 some odd thousands of dollars. Is that account basically? And then it was spent down, it got down pretty low, 100 or 150, and now it sounds like it's on the way back up.
Exactly.
That's the number we're talking about. That's great. I think it's great progress. And as far as using the money for matching funds, I would encourage you to continue to get money from the City of Nashua, even if you have money in that account. Because, you know, I think it's a great case to make that it's a city asset, and that it's used for business development and all that. And those funds are available. And I think we should continue to use that and not have to use our own. Unless there's something that we want to do that maybe doesn't match the city's agenda for whatever reason. But the things we've been doing so far match the city's agenda in terms of wanting to develop business and all that. So get the money.
It's duly noted, we will continue to do that.
Okay.
No other questions. I'll entertain a motion to accept the draft financial report as amended, as presented.
Motion for it.
Second.
Oh, second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries.
Anything else? I have more, but if you're
bored,
okay. I'm going to have me kind of going through a lot of the details.
I do want to commend your work, and especially the staff's work, to hear that we only had minimal adjustments at year end. It is a kudo to both staff.
There was a big smile on my face when I heard that Susan was coming back. Because I know what the records were like.
We all had that smile.
Yeah, I know what the records were like when you were there. And I know from talking with Jared, you know, what they were like before you were there. And after you had left, you know, I don't talk to anybody, anything like that. But there's...
Oh, I did have one question for
yes.
you. Is any of the bankruptcy proceedings with regards to some of the leases, does that have to be disclosed in the subsequent event?
Where the authority isn't being sued for anything, and from my understanding, we're talking with Susan going through the legal stuff, a lot of that was in the probate.
Yeah,
well, it was in the trustee. They were holding fund they were waiting for. Hasn't been, you know, dispersed anything like that. So with the authority, because it's not anything that would negatively impact you, it's not a liability, you're not being sued, anything like that. You're talking like a gain, you know, it's not even a gain contingency, but anything like that. Those would only be recognized when you've received it, when it's, you know, probable and you've received the money. If there's a loss contingency, so if you were being sued and there was a pretty substantial chance that you would have to pay out, which that wasn't the case, so the short answer is no.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be disclosed as a subsequent event or included in the financial statements. Okay.
Thank you.
Again, any questions, don't hesitate to ask. I'll just let you know the number to the office. Feel free to call, and I will be glad to answer any questions for you.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. Communications. We have 10:30, the bankruptcy court, ITT Real Estate, and 11:03 with Mr. James M. Zamboni Jr., notice of exercise of option to extend the lease term. Do we need to act on these?
I believe you have to have a motion to accept it. Is that correct, Susan? Jim Zamboni.
We'll do it on the new business then. Okay. Reports. The tower report is in the packet. Okay, we had a good month last month. We had 56.24 in the traffic count, which is up 938 from the previous year, 20% increase, which made up, and we're only 2% behind last year's traffic count. And the other item I wanted to note is that the jet count since July has been over 50, whereas in the earlier part of the year it was in the 20s and 30s. So we are seeing more jet traffic. Airport manager.
Excuse me. All right, we had a few things going on this month, this past month. Nick and I have been having several discussions regarding our upcoming SRE project, and Nick's going to speak about that SRE project when he comes up. On October 23rd, we had a meeting with Treon Flores from Hellenic American University. And he just wanted to basically fill us in as to where they were at. And he told us that the finances and the Board of Trustees for Hellenic American had decided not to make an offer on any of the Daniel Webster College properties. They believe that owning and developing buildings on leased land is not in their best interest. However, they're still interested in planning on establishing a collegiate aviation presence at Nashua. And they were talking about the spring of 2018. Where they're going to do that, they're not sure yet, but they're working on it. And it was a fairly informal meeting, but he came in from Greece to let us know that they're still interested. On the 24th, Matt Barabee, he held our annual pre-snow snowplowing meeting, where myself, Matt, Joe Callahan, and Bob DeMeo, we laid out our plan of attack for snow removal this year. And unfortunately, Bob Donadio, who used to plow for us on a part-time basis, said that he could no longer plow. Well, after I wrote this the other day, Matt had a meeting with Bob yesterday, and he has agreed to help us out on a part-time basis this year. He has a family issue that prevents him from being available. So it all looks good. I think we're all set. All the machinery's all set to go. And all we need is some snow. If it doesn't want to come, that's fine. On the 25th of October, Alderman Schoenemann, Director Woods, and myself, we attended an HB 124 House Committees. House Ways and Means full committee work session. Committee Chairman Abrami presented an amendment to the full committee, which passed to move on to the New Hampshire House of Representatives in January. This proposal was, I guess, what we call a blended proposal. That I know we've talked about this before. We brought forth a tax-based proposal, and the folks from Pease brought out a weight-based registration proposal. And Abrami put it together and made a blended proposal out of it so that it funds a million and a quarter budget for the Department of Transportation Bureau of Aeronautics. So
I was also in attendance.
Sorry, yes, you were. So we'll see where that goes with the House. It's looking pretty good. And we'll report on it after January. See where it goes from there. On November 2nd, Matt Barabee, myself, and myself, we met with Mike Legere, who is the manager of airport operations and facilities at Manchester Boston Regional. We were given the grand tour of the airport, which was pretty spectacular. They have an amazing facility up there, and seemingly unlimited budget, which is just unbelievable. The tour included the maintenance facilities, the ARF vehicles, the fire rescue vehicles, airport maintenance vehicles, and airport property. And it's just, they have a full-time staff for this department of about 19 employees that work three shifts a day, 24/7, 365. So very busy up there. We made some arrangements. We actually acquired a mower from them, not a mower deck is what I should say, a Batwing brush hog that they're going to give to us for nothing, and some plow blades and edges and things like that. And we're actually going up tomorrow to pick this equipment up. So it was a very productive meeting. And they also let us know that next year they're getting a new snowblower, and they're going to see if they can give us their older one, which is basically the sister machine to the large blower that we have right now.
Is there anything we can do to them to acknowledge, receive, or show our gratitude?
We've already given some big thank yous, but I think we can think about something. Yeah, that'd probably be a great idea. Carl Braley, he's Mike's boss, and he's the one that approved all of this, so we'll make sure that we extend that to him as well. While we're talking about our tour, we actually went up there, and one of the things we did is we drove out onto the runway, knowing that we have a groove and seal project coming up. And I had heard people voice some concerns about groove pavement, and you know, it's really rough and some of the other things. We went out, got out of the truck, and inspected the pavement on runway 3517. And it's literally an inch and a half spacing, then there's quarter inch by quarter inch deep grooves. And even running your hand over it, it felt pretty smooth. Now, I did just have a discussion with Wes about this a few minutes ago. He flies a tailwheel aircraft with a solid rubber tailwheel on it. And do you have the same thing on yours?
Yes, I do. I have the exact same tailwheel.
Right. And there is definitely, you notice it when you're on groove pavement. But I don't think it was that bad when I looked at it. We actually went up to Laconia today, Matt and I did, and we got out and we looked at the groove pavement on their runway as well. And it was the same thing. It's, I landed on Laconia's groove pavement, oh, I'd say hundreds of times, never even knew that it was groove. So I think it's a good thing that we're looking forward to getting this project going. I also had a discussion with Chris Hoffman this afternoon. He flies the CJ-3 that's based in the East Point hangar. And at the end of our discussion, he said, "Hey, you guys ever thinking about grooving the pavement?" I said, "You haven't seen the emails?" He goes, "No, I write and read them." But they fly a CJ-3 that does not have thrust reversers. And he said, "You know, wet runway, he needs minimum of 4,300 feet. And obviously, we can accommodate that." But he goes, "I can tell you on a snow covered or icy runway, I can't come in here." Based here. He said if it was grooved, he goes, it makes all the difference in the world in getting those jets stopped, especially when they don't have the thrust reversers. So, moving right along, on 11-7, had a meeting with Carol Nuola from the Hampshire Department of Transportation Bureau of Aeronautics and George Pentelli from the FAA. The meeting focused on FAA hangar use policy, in particular aeronautical versus non-aeronautical use of hangars. And this was brought about, we had an issue at the airport where she had taken a photograph of a hangar that was open, and in the photograph it appeared as though there was no aeronautical use of this hangar, and it was strictly non-aeronautical use. And so we went back and forth with some letters, and I showed to her and let her know that the plane that's in that hangar wasn't there that day because it's getting an engine put in at another airport, and that it is in fact used for aeronautical use. And this discussion during the meeting was a lengthy discussion, and at the end of it, we were found to be in compliance and not in non-compliance of our grant assurances because the hangar in fact was used for aeronautical purposes. So.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris. Did you get a letter from her yet?
I have not received the letter yet.
Okay.
George Pentelli and Carol said that we would receive a letter stating that that's the case. They want everything in writing.
Follow the show. Excellent.
Chris, did you have to go down and do an inspection of the hangar?
That was part of our discussion. Excuse me, I'm going to steal Bob's drink here because I'm running out of refreshment. Thank you, Bob. You want some of the milk? So we have this discussion, and This was 3 or 4 hours, Carl, we discussed this. It was a long time.
It was a chunk of time,
yeah.
Yes.
And one of the things that we're trying to do is say that, you know, we have to have access to hangars. It's in the leases. It's this, that, the other thing. Then we're like, well, no, it's not. And then they suggested that we make an amendment to the leases and have everybody sign these to allow access. And, you know, we're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So at the end of the whole meeting, I think it was pretty clear that you can't have access to the hangars. It's not in the leases. And according to this New Hampshire laws to protect this. Well, at the end of the meeting, Carol said, okay, George, it looks like we need to go look at some of these hangars right now. And I know Carol and I looked at each other like, what are you talking about? And George actually said, well, I think we just covered that and we can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that was brought up. And that's what happened. You know, you can't do that. Well, you can with permission, right, if somebody gives you permission, but, you know, as far as making an amendment to the leases, I can't see a lot of people signing up for that.
Was there any elaboration on, like, okay, the rule of the law is this, but what's the reality of, what are they afraid of? Is it literally, we saw something we thought we saw, and now we're concerned that's been going on and protected. I mean, what's
this hangar use policy?
Right. But ultimately, what's the...
So the way it was put to us, if I may.
Yes.
The way it was put to us, you know, was that Carol for, you know, George from FAA, he's from Airport Compliance, AFS 100, by the way. He's telling us that since we're a block grant state, that Carol is his eyes and ears, you know, at New Hampshire airports with regard to, you know, compliance to, you know, the grant assurances. So that's FAA order 5190.6B. So,
okay.
Yes. Well, hey, I could go on at length about some of this stuff. But anyway, what George didn't understand, you know, I think until we had that meeting, is I believe he was kind of assuming that we, or the city, owned the hangars. And the fact is, all of you know this, we don't. You know, it's like, you know, our interface to the T-hangar owners is those condo associations. And, you know, then of course the individual hangar units are deeded properties of their owners. So we have no right to enter any of those properties without permission. I'm not sure how much Carol got that, you know,
especially at the end of the
conversation. But so the existential threat is that Carol represents the FAA. She did this little drive-by. She saw the door open, and she saw
she saw not an airplane.
She saw not an airplane. And and given the position that she's in, that could have been worth a phone call. She decided she needed to be formal about this. So this meeting was the culmination of that process.
I will note that the FAA normally starts with the informal process, and so the entry of the person appears to be not in tune with the normal FAA process. I think we're a busybody
customer. Hopefully it won't happen again.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the discussion, I think we were all clear on our positions on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the meeting, New Hampshire DOT actually had six additional things that they thought we needed to comply with, and we went over them line by line, and each one of those was scratched out because, we argued against them using their own laws and their own rules and regulations. They weren't reading them. In particular, when she came down and said, well, we want to divide this hangar up into two halves because it used to be two hangars and it's turned into one, and it's clear that this is non-aeronautical and that's aeronautical, so we want you to charge non-aeronautical for this and aeronautical for that. And I said, well, wait a minute. He's an aircraft builder. He built that aircraft. It's an experimental aircraft. He is the builder himself. He is constantly building things. He is building another aircraft. There is tools and stuff all over the hangar. It's not just confined to that one area. And she pulled the rules out and said, well, it says right here, it's only for the final assembly of aircraft. And George said, yeah, you can't just open boxes and start building. And I said, well, you got to read the next line in your own rules and regulations. And it states that the non-commercial building of amateur-built or experimental kit aircraft is allowed. I said, so right there, and so that was the final one where George was scratched that one out too.
Want to continue?
I do. On the 8th, I met with a prospective new tenant for Hangar, we'll call it Building 99 and 101 Perimeter Road properties. This gentleman, his name is Jay Jacobs. He owns Rapid Sheet Metal and Machining, which they have a property that they lease land from us on the other side of Perimeter Road. He also has a facility on Sharon Ave. He has two on Sharon Ave. He's growing his business, and he's an entrepreneur. They're looking into some other business, and they need more office space. So he's looking at these two properties. It's close to his other business. It really works for him. I went to one of their shops and met with them, and they're their real estate broker. And it really fits his bill. And I also explained to him, after having this meeting with Carol and George the day before, we have to have aeronautical use of these hangars. And he said, well, I'd be more than happy to lease the hangars out because I need the office space. So their plan is to come in and lease out the hangars to, you can fit, I think Bob Bird said you can fit a Lear 60 in one of those, and I know they've had Pilatus and other aircraft in the other hangar. So that's his plan, and one of his businesses is actually, it's just office space, it's aeronautical engineering that they're going to be doing. So hopefully this goes through. I've had talks with Mark Perlman. He's the realtor representing Building 99 and 101. So we'll continue the discussions with that and make sure that works for them. just the other day, yesterday actually, I met with John Beauvair and Rich Philbrook from Penachuck Water regarding a potential main easement from Deerwood Drive to Northwest Boulevard. And I know we've spoke about this in the past, so I had them out And we walked the property out there yesterday, and they told us what they want to do, and it's basically like they said before, they want to run a 16-inch water main coming out of the railroad tracks off of Deerwood into the airport property, down that paved road we have out back, and connecting to their service out in the northwest. And the reason for this is, and they're going to bring these plans to us at a future board meeting so everybody can see the exact plans, is they have all this commercial business up Amherst Street, and if they have a problem, they shut it off, and now they've shut off hundreds of businesses out there. Whereas if they have this loop, now they have the ability to keep everybody, you know, they can contain it to one small area if they have a problem. That's the whole idea. And as we walked the property, they wanted to go right down or even through parts of our paved road out there, and I said, no, I'd rather you didn't do that. What I'd rather you do is get on the fence line, and while you're at it, remove all the trees that are growing into the road and growing into the railroad, and, you know, rather you go like that, plus make it a straight shot, so you're not trying to follow the road. It also puts them further than their 10 feet that they need to be from the sewer system that's out there. We have a sewer running right down the middle of that road. So as we get out to the end, we looked at it, and he said, would you mind if I took the fence down against the railroad tracks from Deerwood? It only probably goes a couple hundred yards. And I said, I really want the fence to be there. He goes, well, I say take it down, remove the trees, put the water line in, and he goes, I'll put a brand new fence up for you. I said, I think that'll work. I also asked if they would add a fire hydrant or two along that road out there, so that if we ever did have an incident out there, that we could have, the fire department could have, you know, much easier time getting water, you know, if we started a forest fire out there, whatever happens. And they're going to put that into the plans as well. So right now, what they're doing is they're having Hayner Swanson start the engineering on the project and laying it out, and they'll get it all together, and we'll try to actually present it at the next board meeting. Okay. I also met with Sarah Marchant yesterday morning at my office from the City of Nashville Community Development Division Director, is her position, regarding the rezoning of certain properties on Amherst Street. On the other side of the railroad tracks, and where we're just talking, basically the whole side of that side of our field over there, Amherst Street, down to approximately Deerwood. So everything over there on Amherst Street, they want to rezone. And the problem they're having out there is they have all kinds of different zoning, and everybody has to apply for variances on a regular basis. And they've realized that, well, there's an issue here, and we need to rezone the area, because all these people are asking for similar variances all the time. They have general business, they have business, they have business commercials. She started rattling all the zoning off that I really don't recall. But they want to have a more uniform zoning parcel, zone parcel over there. So they're just starting to talk about this, and she asked what were our concerns, and I named a few of our concerns, and, you know, one of them was height restrictions. We don't really want a shooting range over there. We think video editing studios, people who might complain about noise, things like that, we need to avoid allowing that to go on over there, because this is an airport. And I also turned her on to Matt Caron, and Matt's going to give her all these, the figures regarding the height, et cetera. You got a talk with her, I take it?
That's part of my report, thanks, Chris.
Okay. So anyhow, moving right along. So that was a good, productive discussion, by the way. And I think that's a good relationship for us to have, in terms of, you know, making sure that we're protecting what goes on around the airport for the future. Also, last night I came here in this very room to the Zoning Board of Adjustment hearing regarding a zoning adjustment for 100 Furman Road, currently owned by Jim and John Camposi, which is the thing that we're going to talk about with new business. And they were getting a variance for the use of the property. Currently, it's zoned as business industrial, and what they're proposing, their new tenants, it's called the Gateway Community Services, and they offer counseling services to autistic people, not just children, but ages 2 to, I think, in their 20s. And it's going to be a counseling center, and I came up and I spoke in favor, because I run this by everybody in an email, and I spoke in favor of their proposal, but I did state for the record that this is on airport property. There's a lot of noise associated, and this afternoon speaking with Dave Shoneman, autistic children or people are very susceptible to these noises. They're sensitive to noise. And so I made that perfectly clear. They understood it. They also said, we make a lot of noise too, so we'll be great neighbors. And I told them that I wholeheartedly support their proposal. And this will be good. You know, the Tamposis have owned a lot of real estate around the airport for many years. This has been a vacant piece for them for a long time now.
Was that approved?
Yes, it was approved. Yep. That'll be all. Any questions?
I have a question. I understand that the Chinese concern that ended up winning the bid was Webster Property. Have you heard at all if they have any plans to have any kind of mediation related to tax or
have not heard that.
And if that's in what fact, they were the power stop, because they own some point the aviation center, correct?
No, they did not. The Chinese entity that has made a purchase, they bought the campus. They did not buy the aviation center lease or Hangar 85. They bought the campus. Southern New Hampshire University won the bid for the aviation center and Hangar 85. And they are planning on, you know, starting up a collegiate aviation program in conjunction with going into business with Air Direct.
Does that make the tower's operation a vulnerability for them? Or does that affect them in any way?
It shouldn't affect them in any way. So, and we still need to meet with them and, you know, reassign the lease, et cetera. I have a meeting tomorrow morning. There was one more thing I need to talk about with a Mr. Donovan from Southern New Hampshire University. And he wants to discuss what they're going to do with the building. That's basically all the details he gave me. So if two of the board members are available tomorrow morning, I think that'd be nice to have you there. It's at 7:30 in my office.
Okay. I'll be there.
Okay. Perfect. So if that answers your question. Okay. And we don't know anything about the Chinese entities that made the purchase. Susan was at the auction. Can you give us any insight that you may have?
No. Just exciting to be back and forth. Just seems on that way out of my league. But it is it ended up being a Mr. Lou who talked to
I understand now, yeah.
We don't know what organization he was from. It was assumption that he was from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, which has now been in the paper, though, and we've seen that it's not been denied that. So no one knows who he is related to.
It's not researchable then to find out when they're.
I have not heard that they've been closed yet. I think that we've been receiving a letter stating. We were in the whole bankruptcy process. We have not heard anything of the closing. And I know the one of our bidders, they're 100% recovery. And so if it doesn't work out for the Mr. Lou, then it would be brought back to 100% recovery. And they are drug detached.
Is there a time frame on that?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's what I'm thinking on that.
So basically, all we know is it's Wes's
other
brother.
First of
Chinese company, Mr. Lou. I'm sure you'll find that.
Yeah.
So that's what I can tell you. Any board members have any questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the report from Yale Associates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will speak to the master plan first. On October 30th, we held a joint master plan committee and strategic planning committee meeting with the primary goal of discussing airport priorities, future projects, where to potentially put future development, and things of that nature. And all of that input forms the basis for the alternatives that we're now putting together. In conjunction with those alternatives, we're working on Chapter 5, which is the facility requirements chapter. What that does is that takes a look at the existing infrastructure at the airport and determines whether or not, based on FAA criteria, based on airport input, the authority input, whether or not that criteria is actually adequately meeting the needs of the users at the airport. And so at this point in time, I would say I'm probably about 90% complete with that chapter, which is Chapter 5. The alternatives are coming along quite nicely, and my intent is to try and get that to the Master Plan Committee in time to have another Master Plan Committee meeting before the December Authority meeting, so I can get consensus and approval on Chapter 5 and the alternatives, and then bring those alternatives and Chapter 5 to the full authority at the December meeting, assuming that it's still on December 20th. If there's any fluctuation in that date, maybe the January meeting or something like that. But the input's been invaluable. It's been really, really helpful having representatives from both of those groups there, even though I think it was more master plan committee folks, due to some weather issues that occurred over Halloween, so, which is good. So yeah, the input was definitely really good. The other thing that Chris had talked about, and he did send Sarah Marchand my way, she did call me yesterday, I believe it was, and it was actually really refreshing to have a community development director in a city actually looking out for the interests of the airport and actually picking up the phone and just saying, hey, you know, if we change zoning over here, how will that affect the airport? So one of the things that I did notice as part of the facilities requirements chapter is the dimensions of the approach surface for the airport are incorrectly entered in there. I wouldn't say incorrectly. I should say they're the dimensions for the old runway before it was actually shifted and lengthened. So it was never updated, so that's one of my recommendations. So the timing couldn't be any better. I am going to get her a plan that shows her the approach surface, the heights at various positions on the approach surface, and sounds like she's going to incorporate that stuff into whatever future zoning they decide to do for Amherst Street. So it was really good, really positive, and like I said, refreshing to be working with someone that seems to know what they're doing. So that's all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions related to the meeting we had or the chapter or alternatives.
No, I'm good for now.
And Sarah grew up on the Brookline Airport, by the way.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Marchand?
Marchand.
Her father used to work for
George Marchand.
No, her father, mate, that's not her maiden name, I'm sorry. Her father used to be partners with Tom Moran in that engineering firm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moran or something. Right. I can't remember what the maiden name was, right? But good person to have on our side.
She's definitely interested.
Okay. I'll take over for items 2 and 3. Item 2 here is pavement maintenance and reconstruction project. Again, that project is complete. Continental paving notified Gale on November 9th that they can confirm with the final pay estimate. We actually received the signed estimates at the office today. By the end of this week, we will have closeout documents ready to send out. And the recommended actions of the authority are to review and sign the closeout documents upon receipt. Once those are signed and sent out, the project will be closed.
I have a question on the project.
Yes, sir.
I understand there was some damage to one of the hangars during the project. Has that been rectified?
To the best of my knowledge, it has been. Chris, do you know?
No, they've come and looked at it 2, possibly 3 times now.
Okay.
And nothing was ever really done. And I had Mr. Tamposi, speak with these people, with Bill Green from Continental. And, you know, they told us initially that they're going to have somebody take care of it. And I think one of the problems that they're running into is the inability to get the matching materials because they don't exist. Because the hangar's so old.
Well, if I can elaborate on that, the hangar, the manufacturers of those tiny blue panels change the design every 5 years. And I believe it was the intent to
make people buy
new hangar doors. But I ran into this at a project in Massachusetts where they ended up having to custom make a panel to replace it. And then in order to get it to match, they took one off the inside of the door, put it on the outside so the color matched, and put the blank panel on the inside of the door. But I will...
Maybe this is something you can run by Bill Green.
I will absolutely. I'll go above him.
I know we've talked about this a few times. Yeah. Nothing was ever resolved.
It still needs to be repaired. I was unaware that...
I did see Bud Dickey out there the other day working on that door. Mm-hmm. Was he fixing the pieces in the ground, you know? Or
we still holding a retainage on this stuff? Or
this last estimate is to release the retainage, but I will obviously hold off on processing until that's taken care of.
Of course. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding the payment in this project? Okay. Item number three is the groove and seal project. The current status, NHDOT has reported that this project was on the agenda, or was not on the agenda for the November 8th Governor and Council meeting. They've since, this email actually came in this morning, did not make the 24th meeting either. It'll be on the December 6th Governor and Council meeting agenda. It was held up at the Attorney General's office for some reason, and they have 2 weeks from receipt to get it on an agenda, and it just so happened that it fell beyond the November 24th meeting. So that being said, the grant will be in place hopefully the day after that meeting on December 6th. However, the contractor, the roofing contractor is actually a sub to Seal Coating Inc. who's doing the sealant and hardens. The roofing sub has indicated that they are in the process of laying off their employees and to bring employees back on for a week in December may not be feasible. But he left it open that we would evaluate whether or not it can be done this year once the grant is in place and they have a finite schedule.
You mentioned too about I have this follow-up briefing. But.
And again, part of the grooving process involves following the grooving machine with a vacuum truck to suck up that slurry. The problem you run into when it's below freezing is that slurry can begin to freeze and then could cause issues with removal, and then the next day when it warms up you have slurry and fog, and that's something that we want to avoid at all costs. So whether or not the grooving is pushed to the spring still needs to be seen. There's still potential to do it this year.
We're working below freezing at night now, right?
Yeah. Right. We are. You'd have to get a week of warm temps overnight, which is...
And thread the needle with a contractor that doesn't have the employees.
Correct.
So letting go along.
Yep. Recommended actions at this point are to execute the contract upon receipt of confirmation that the grant is in place. Beyond that, we can coordinate in real time as to whether or not the construction can actually take place this year. Again, if it is pushed to the spring, I believe the finished product would be just as good as it is splitting it up. The only negative impact would be back-to-back impacts for airport users in the spring rather than having smaller separated.
In terms of sealing.
In terms of, yeah, the ability to use the airport.
Do you use your weekend nighttime shutdown followed by your daytime shutdown versus
correct.
Night over here and then months later?
Yes.
Can you still separate it in the year? Like, for instance, if the grooming has to happen with temperatures, typically above freezing, that's April, May.
Right.
So you're getting right into the good season. I don't know.
We can absolutely take a break between phases. The airport's discretion for the contract to modify the schedule as it sees fit. So, yes, the answer to that question is it can be, you know, pushed off a few weeks, a month. But, you know, before we get into the sort of summer flight season, you probably want to have your floater seal or your paving seal down in the margins.
Right. You don't want to have it screwed and then hanging a groove behind the seal for an extended period of time. Right. You just essentially start from the surface.
Any questions regarding the roof seal project? Project number four here is, sorry, the number correctly. The snow removal equipment project. Project status at this time, funding for this project is contingent upon availability of NHDOT apportionments from the FAA. Funding is not guaranteed, however, during the scoping meeting, NHDOT provided a verbal commitment for a total project cost of up to $350,000. The estimated project cost exceeds NHDOT's commitments for funding, and Gail has been working with the airport manager, Chris, to solicit purchase of any available entitlements from other airports in the state. And Chris has actually secured entitlements that sum up to approximately $26,000 and change to put towards that project, which then counts towards the FAA 90%, so it bumps up the overall project cost by, I think it was another $1,800, or, sorry, $3,600 total, which it's a little bit, but it's every bit helps. Going through the process of scoping the equipment, it seems like this total estimated cost of $375 is still in the wheelhouse of what we're thinking. The state share that they are committed to is 150 plus or minus, so 206-250 may not be accurate. But combining the entitlements should make up any gap. Gail has coordinated with the airport manager, Chris, on the scope of work and fee for the design of this project. The airport authority, the airport authority has not signed an agreement for Gale services related to this project. However, I have provided the authority with draft contracts for review that Chris has already reviewed. So I will leave these with you guys. And actions recommended would be to review and, if acceptable, execute the agreement between Gale and the airport for professional services. Upon receipt of them, these are still draft in form, and Gail will execute them prior to sending them to the airport for execution. So, if these contracts need your approval, you'll start the process of signing and sending them around to signature for
that. Do we need a board vote for that?
And you accept the final, well,
our
decision, I guess, is in review. Right. That's probably the best way to make it as fast as possible.
Yeah, the motion to authorize Chris and Mike to sign the contract upon review by the
chair. Sure. Make the motion to go ahead and proceed to authorize the airport manager, chair of the board, to review and sign the contracts engaging professional services for the SRE project with Gail, contingent upon approval of the final contract.
Okay. I'll second that.
Good. Discussion? Less.
Just a question, since Chris has done such a good job on equipment, it sounds like maybe the airport might get another blower. Does that modify the need for the equipment that we're talking about?
No, the equipment we're talking about is for a grader, and we're going to replace the grader that we have that's vintage 1980s. And we still, what we do with the graders, we've all made multiple passes around the perimeter of the runway, and then they take the blowers and they blow it off the runway. The additional blower will speed the process up of removing that. But we definitely need to do the graders here.
greater than 20 years until parts are not available.
It sounds like from the process of the grant process that everyone has.
No, it'll be the next year. And just to be clear, yeah, they work with me, but Matt Barrett, he said the one that's found all this equipment. Credits to
okay, there's a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And I apologize. I have an appointment with Rob and Becker. So Matt's going to stay for the rest of the meeting. But is it okay if I say no?
I think I think this requires a roll call.
Okay. I'm always available by cell phone if you guys have any questions. Okay. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to committees, Master Plan Committee.
So I think Matt has already pretty much covered the activity of the Master Plan and committee. One of the things that impressed me about the meeting that we had was basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but anything that we think we want to do, we have to get it on the ALP, the airport layout plan. Because if it doesn't appear on the ALP, then we can't pursue it as a project. So there may be items that will appear on the ALP, and we might or might not execute on those going forward. But that's the first step. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's essentially a wish list.
Yes.
Of what the airport potentially may want, potentially may need. If there was something that doesn't make it on to the ALP, it's not that it can never be funded. You would have to go through what the FAA calls a pen and ink change, which is a minor modification to the ALP. So say 5 years from now, you're like, damn, I wish we had thought to put a couple hangars over in this area. Mm-hmm. We can go on, we can modify the ALP. It's not nearly as extensive as what we're doing now, not even close. It's a simple pen and ink change. It gets approved by the FAA and the DOT, and then you'd be able to move forward with that funding. But to avoid any of that, we're talking big picture, 20-year build-out, what is the airport envision, what does the Master Plan Committee envision, Strategic Planning Committee, what would they like to see, how do we meld all those together and get them on a plan? So at this point, there's multiple iterations of the alternative that I will be presenting. And then, we may look at alternative number one and say, well, geez, I really like, where these hangars are located, but alternative number two doesn't show them there. Can we kind of, mix and match? So it might be a combination of several alternatives that ultimately become the airport layout plan.
This works.
That's mostly for projects for which grants are applied.
Correct. For AIA.
So if I went to the airport authority and I said, I want to go build a series of hangars out of India Ramp with my own cash, and I'll lease the land, even though that was not on the ALP, they could agree to do that.
They could. And the good news is we're looking at India Ramp put in. So.
Sure. And I'm just using this as an example.
I got you.
If it's private dollars,
yep.
then you can deviate from what's on the ALP.
You definitely can. And I think for the most part, you want to be as close as possible with what we're planning in certain areas. So, for example, let's just say down in India Ramp, we put, four box hangars. But then there's a private developer that comes and wants to build several nested T-hangars. Well, that's fine. You're talking a very similar use, just different building size and things like that. But it would be eligible. It would be eligible for FAA funds, or a private developer could come in and actually do that. So.
Thank you very much.
That's all I have. Yeah.
Yeah, as I kind of mentioned, maybe in the last couple months, we're taking a bit of a hiatus from actively meeting. Master planning process is kind of dovetailing most of this stuff right now. And also those two main items we talked about, HB 124, sort of where that's going to end up in the next few months, is going to probably give us some direction as ultimately how we want to, if it doesn't go, if it doesn't pass, if it doesn't die, whatever, then we're not going to be as much motivated to actively go after the business interest, where it does pass, and it's a whole new door of opportunity that opens. And then that ultimately was in line with our mission statement, the education aspect. What does end up happening with
the flight center and ultimately the campus, although to a lesser extent, but you know, how does our police aviation interest set up shop and what does that look like, you know, in the next 7 months unfold. So we'll take a break while the master plan is done.
Is there a strategic plan committee members still going to participate in
the
Any new business, we have Mr. James Tambosi Jr. requesting approval to exercise the option to extend the term of lease E1454 for 40 years to begin May 14, 2022 and terminate May 14, 2062. So I understand that option is already in his lease.
Correct. And it's May 15, 2022.
Not May 14.
You'll be hearing his name, Chris. So you'll be able to.
Yeah, it says May 15th. Not what I'm reading right here.
So the current one expires on
May 14th.
Okay,
the new one.
So beginning May 15th, 2022, and terminating on May 14th, 2062.
Correct.
It's a long way away.
Chris will be there. He'll take care of that.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Put forth a motion to approve the extension of the lease as stated for the original leasing language.
Is there a second?
Second for discussion. So okay.
Discussion.
So with respect to the grant assurances again, actually, that property is not airside. It's street side. So I think are we going to be good on the grant assurances?
Yeah, we are good on the grant assurances. Correct.
Excellent. Okay.
And whether it's airside or not, it has to follow the guidelines of the grant assurances.
Well, I seem to remember they had some language, or at least a notion, that if you extend the lease out beyond a certain period of time, We're essentially abandoning the property.
Disposal of the property, yeah. But this does not exceed that time.
Okay.
I was actually thinking that I read the number 25 years.
It's actually 49 years is where it becomes disposal of the property.
Yeah, I think the 25 years is the standard FAA.
It's the standard, but after 50 years actually is considered disposal of the property. So you can't extend it more than 49. So we won't be in violation of grant assurances with 49-year extension.
Okay, that was my main concern.
And in this case, too, this was already written into his lease, and we decided that we need to honor what's written into the leases.
So in regard to the leases, I know our lease, Hangar 109, says that we have a letter agreeing we can extend for 20 more years and terms can be negotiated later. So will this lease extension, does this lease have the same language, and will the terms remain the same for the extension as they have been for the current? Particularly, I've heard talk at various times about increasing the fees. Also, will this be at the same rate?
I will have to read this one again. I don't recall off the top of my head right now. But if it does say it will be renegotiated, it will be renegotiated. But I believe that this one does not say that, but I will look at it.
Well, I'm just curious about the precedent.
Usually what I'm seeing is, as I've reviewed these leases, there's been multiple extensions put in place. Mm-hmm. The first one is in the current terms. The second extension is where it's to be renegotiated. So I will look into this one.
I think the board's position is that if there is any lease that has the option of being renegotiated upon renewal or extension, we will take a look at that and decide at that time.
Okay. The reason I asked the question is that I believe that a previous board suggested that they would increase the lease rate 100%.
at the next meeting.
So, I think that was a minority opinion at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, since we don't know whether or not the term can be renegotiated, can we take this vote at this time?
I think we said we would honor the lease as it was.
Right.
As it was put in there.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So if either, if it is going to be, if it's available for negotiation, well, and if we're going to honor the, if it is what it is, then we're going to honor that.
Okay, fair enough. Good.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Upcoming events? Anything going on?
Thanksgiving.
Have a holiday luncheon planned?
We will plan one for December, yes.
You're not
going
to do a WKRP turkey drop?
No,
I'm going
to
Wow, that goes back a few years.
I'm going to think about dropping a turkey.
Any public input?
Well, I'll just say a few good words. I spoke in private with Chris, but I think the airport staff and the authority did a very good job with the Hampshire community. And I think you want to have that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Well, I also had that I think the airport did a great job getting that fire water down on the Sharon.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
That's nice.
When did that go?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. Weeks ago. Yeah. I broke out there and I saw Joe out there cutting barbed wire and spooling it up and had those.
Yeah, can we get rid of the little Barbie thing?
Yeah, we'll get those off. We're trying to decide the best way to cut them off. You can't just take them off, they'd be cut off. But the barbed wire is down.
Yeah, right. Nice.
That was all Joe Callahan's labor effort. He did a nice job.
The first step in the beautification process is
yep. Sure.
That property.
Any public input? Okay, director's comments.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Sure. So I'd like to thank Wes for coming up with what was called the Nashua proposal for House Bill 124, which was to raise the fuel flowage fees. To cover the gap that would have been created by the loss of the millage, and so that was your doing, and now that's moving forward in a slightly different form.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Just to follow up on that, thank you, Wes, for coming to the meetings at the State House, and also Farrell and Chris. The status of the bill now is that it has been approved by House Ways and Means Committee and is on the consent agenda for the whole House to take up probably next week. There's a similar, there's a Senate bill that has been filed that has to do with aircraft aviation registration fees, and it's not described as to what in the exact bill, but it's surmised that it may be, if it doesn't pass the House, then they could take it up in the Senate in the same version or a different version. So stay tuned on that, but we did make a considerable step forward in having the Ways and Means approved and the Finance Committee approved that bill. I had a question for the board several months ago, or maybe even last year. We had this brief discussion on whether if there was a desire to expand the board from 5 members to 7 members, in that members were feeling sort of overwhelmed in the different tasks that they had. And I'm just bringing it up because if we do want to expand, now would be the time when legislators can and the state can file bills to do that. And because it's a requirement of the state to change the RSA for that. Thoughts?
I'm good. I think, you know, a five-member board, well, it's working for me. I don't feel overwhelmed.
I think we were all freaked out at that time when our credit and everybody showed up. I think that was
okay.
I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Because
right. Obviously, a bigger board allows us to do maybe a little bit more, but we don't do, you know,
less.
I know that next summer I've heard rumblings about recruiting someone to replace that exam. I'm curious as to what the current political makeup is of the board. Because I gather they only have
three and two.
Three of one versus the other.
I'm the one Republican.
You're the one Republican.
Yeah. No, I'm registered Republican.
Oh, okay. Sure. Well.
Can you go to
So,
no, Sandy's Democrat, so if she leaves, we can have either.
Okay.
You just can't be undeclared.
So, who's going to be Speaker of the House?
I want to congratulate Director Woods for being elected for another term, a full term. It was approved by the Board of Aldermen this past month.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, for a five-year term. And also,
it was a tough campaign.
Yeah, you had a lot of favors.
The debates were brutal.
Yeah. Dirty politics.
Yeah. And Sandy was approved for a one-year term. Roger noted that only at this time of night, only the back door is open to City Hall, not the front door. The limit of borrowing for the authority has been fixed at $200,000 for a number of years. And again, this is a time with the state legislature would have to change if we wanted to increase that amount. We did use that limit when we purchased the properties on the corner of Sharon and Pineville Road. In floating the money for getting back from the FAA. So I just wanted to know what thoughts are, if we should request an increase to that.
Is there any, is there a downside? I mean, you kind of answered the first question I had, which was, how often do we come up against that one as being a problem?
That was the first time. Right. That was the first time. In probably 20 years.
Oh, okay.
But 200,000 was not what it used to be.
Yeah, I guess. You guys see anything from your standpoint in terms of just in the big picture?
No, I didn't even bring it up to us. Yes.
I don't think it would hurt.
You know, like Jordan said, is there a downside?
Yeah,
So,
what would we go to? Like half a million or something? I mean, what would the sort of next logical?
Well, I would say half a million would be. I mean, it'd be board approval on what we would authorize, but at least we should have a borrowing authority up to a half a million, I would say.
Yeah.
Folks?
So we would be borrowing against, presumably, against our ability to procure more grant money for,
yeah, sounds like that.
A project.
Yeah. I don't know what, like, a downside to that would be, though.
It might be worth asking what other airports have for money. That gets back to my question earlier about, you have so much cash on hand, and you have so much, you know, that you can borrow. Presumably, unfortunately, our county here is here to answer the question of, is there an accepted ratio or balance?
I think potential concerns, but I'll take a board vote, and then if you have more to borrow, then do yourself. But that's, you know, sort of a logical concern, I guess, in this context. Just trying to think of the downside of it.
I don't see a big downside. This is something we could at least investigate.
Okay. Well, do we want to make a motion to do that tonight? Because the other item I had is whether we should have a December meeting or not.
Good question.
Well, I think I think we might want to have a December meeting if we're going to have a Chapter 5, you know, to discuss. Correct.
I can wait till January. I mean, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we're only talking another 2 weeks.
Yeah, January after that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, we could take a break.
We did last year.
We did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So there'll be no December meeting. We can call a meeting if we need to.
Right. Or no.
So getting back to the borrowing of it. I don't, Alderman Sherman, do you know when the cutoff is for submitting bills for
country? I don't know. I thought that it was not this time of year. I thought it was long since passed, but I don't know. Because did we have to get the bill in for HB 124? What did that go to
the Senate? That was held over from last session.
I don't know what the deadline is. I have no idea. But as you can see, it takes a long time to get anything through.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter.
Okay.
I think that if it's something you want to do, let the legislators know. And whatever the next cycle is, whether it's 2 weeks or 2 months or, you know, 6 months,
well, we can make a motion.
Let's make sure they know that that's what you want.
Sorry.
Can I ask who is the bank that we use this line? We don't borrow from the state or anything. It's
No.
Okay.
Last time we used, was it National Bank? I think it was National Bank.
Okay. Yeah, I think that...
We have chopped it around.
Right.
And it was the best way.
Right, and if it's the flexibility you want to have, just put in a request, and yeah, whatever the next cycle is, I'll get it. I don't know what the deadline is.
So want to make a motion to that extent?
Sure, just to increase to... I'll make a motion that we authorize this chair. Who would do that?
It would be to authorize to have the state submit a bill to authorize.
Right. So the board essentially would be.
Is requesting from the state.
Requesting from the state for a bill to authorize an increase in spending or borrowing limit for the National Airport Authority to $500,000.
Your second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay.